Me.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this,
I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Squirrel Friends, the official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast. I almost said that whole thing in a single breath, but did you hear the catch in my voice? I've been gone. I've been out of practice.
I know. You've been gone, Alec.
And this is Alec Mappa.
And I'm Lonnie Love. I'm not going to even let you introduce because I'm so mad that you left me. Because I missed you. I honestly missed you too.
Listen, I'm mad at you too.
Let me tell you. Okay, first of all.
I'm mad at you too.
This is... Why are you mad at me?
Well, I'll talk about it in an instant.
Okay. Yeah, but
I'm feeling some kind of way. I'm feeling some kind of way. I gotta tell you.
First of all, let's talk about the fact that you were on a cruise last episode, so you couldn't be there. So what happened? How was the cruise?
I went on a gay cruise of Central America. I went to Cartagena in Colombia. That's the reason I went. I mean, I've been to the Caribbean before. I'm like, who cares? I've been to Mexico. I mean, not that the Caribbean's not, I'm not saying who cares, like who cares about the Caribbean. I'm saying that I've done, I'm not kidding, Lonnie, I've done about 50 cruises. I mean, as an actor, as a performer, that was my bread and butter for a really, really long time, right? So I didn't do the cruises for a long time because my kid needed me and I was working in LA, blah, blah, blah. Being a dad. So I was like, Central America. I want to go. We did stop in Key West on the way to Colombia, which is beautiful. Now, Key West used to be like the gay part of Florida because it's impossible to get to, right? It's like Provincetown. It's the very tip of Massachusetts in the Cape. So it was always referred to as an artist colony, which means that's where all the gay people are. So I went and I filmed a show there more than 20 years ago, so I hadn't been in more than 20 years. It still seemed a lot of the same, but there were a lot of Trump t-shirts in the tourist windows. And as a Californian, as somebody who lives in a blue state, that was jarring. It was just kind of like...
Yeah, can be. Yeah.
Yuck. But the cruise was great. I know you're going to go on a cruise.
Yes, I'm doing my European tour.
Yeah, we had three sea days where I thought I was going to be sick to my stomach, where I was like, I'm going to die.
Didn't bring anything to take?
I took Xanax.
Oh, okay.
I took Xanax. And that, so I was walking around really dopey. Highlight of the cruise, I'm going to give a big shout out. A lot of great performers, but the one that really blew me away was Audra McDonald. 6-time Tony Award winning actress.
I love her.
I was just like, this is one of the most talented people you'll ever see. She not only just sings, she tells you a whole story in her acting and the interpretation of the song. And then I got back. I was really, really glad to see my family. I was driving my kid to an appointment. And in the car, I listened to Squirrel Friends. And when your voice came on with Trixie Mattel... I felt like someone was cheating on me. I felt like a lover had said, listen, while you were away, listen, we're all human. I felt attracted to somebody and I decided, why not act on it? And that our relationship is strong enough to withstand this.
Well, you know what? Trixie was kind enough to fill in for you,
la,
Alec.
La, la. I don't want to hear la, 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 la.
It was very, very different, but thank you to Trixie Mattel for filling in. But I did miss you because I had to do the stuff that you do, which is like the introductions, the describing of the clothes. I was like, yeah, she had on a long white gown.
She had on a wig and a dress.
I was like, where the hell all this? Because I was trying to get Trixie to do it. Trixie was like, bitch, no, you do it.
Okay. You know what the thing I was jealous of is that you guys had great chemistry.
Oh.
You really did have great chemistry.
It's a conversation. Yeah. It's a conversation. Alec, you and I are, you are always my number one.
No.
Squirrel friends. Something, he's in his jealous era.
Something has broken. I'm like Cynthia Nixon in Sex and the City. You broke us.
We missed you. This is why we love you, Alec. And this is Squirrel Friends, season 15, episode 15. Tell them the spoilers.
All right. This was... I forgive you. I'm very secure in my abilities. It was just like, you know what it was? You know what it was? It was like, you know, I don't get to see you every week, but I do get to kiki with you and laugh and everything. So to hear that it went on without me, it was like, oh.
You had FOMO. Yeah.
Nobody loves me.
We missed you. We missed you. And I kept saying Trixie Mattel, our guest co-host, every time I introduced, because I didn't want anybody to, you know how things can get.
I would have been like, Trixie, you're not Lonnie, so. Fuck you.
Trixie was very different. She was very different, and we appreciate her.
Usually I talk to a Filipino lady every week, so I'm uncomfortable.
Squirrel friends, we're going to talk about the season 15 reunion. That's what we're really going to talk about. And since we are, now I'm going to put you to work because, squirrel friends, it's time for 15 seconds to say. This is where Alec and I have 15 seconds to race and say all of our most important thoughts and takes on a topic given to us by our producers. Now, we found out during this reunion special that a couple of queens, Mistress and Anitra, took things from the set. So now it's our time to reveal our favorite things we ever taken from a set, Alec. Oh, we've been on many sets, dear. So you have 15 seconds to tell me what you have taken from a set. All ready, set, set.
I've always wanted to steal stuff, but I can't because a costume designer actually told me we have to inventory things. So if I like a piece, I'll ask for it, and 9 times out of 10, they give it to me. So, So I got stuff from Ugly Betty.
I got clothes. What did you take?
I got clothes from Ugly Betty, but I asked.
Yes.
I
didn't.
Because also, you work with the same people again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when it circles around, it's like, you're the bitch who took all your clothes.
That's
and we
hilarious.
Had to account for it. Okay.
Okay.
So, 15 seconds. Ready, set, say.
I worked on a show for 9 seasons, which was called The Real. And so the thing that I wanted was something I could remember. So I took my couch that came out of my dressing room. It is a pretty blue couch, and I loved it, and I still have it.
Okay. You took a couch? I was talking about like a turtleneck. Because here's the other thing. Like, I'm short, so when I'm on the show, they have to cut things to fit me. Uh-huh. So if I find, like, a suit or something that is amazing...
Oh, yeah.
I get
well,
to
I take
it.
Clothes all the time. I mean, I have, like, all these amazing shoes and clothes and stuff.
You don't ask?
Because... No, they allowed me to take it.
Okay.
But as far as if I had to actually take something, you know, I'm always, I'm leery about that because I don't want people to think that I steal.
I know. And the thing is, like, always, a golden rule in this business, if you think you're never going to see anybody again, that's the person you're going to see on the next job.
Exactly. They'd be like, you took this.
And it might be a costume designer or a producer who's like, here she comes.
That's
Make
it.
Make sure you give her a note to not take her couch home.
Squirrel friends, if you want us to say something about anything for 15 seconds, DM or message us your ideas at Alec Mappa on Instagram or at Comic Lonnie Love on Instagram and at Lonnie Love on Twitter. Let's get into this episode, Alec, because this was a long, good, juicy episode.
It was a long episode, and these reunion episodes are really a chance of the Queens film this show. All the episodes that you've seen are filmed a year ago. They were filmed last year. And the reunion and the finale are the only episodes that are kind of filmed close to what's happening now.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
And they're filmed after people see the edit for the first time.
Yeah.
They're filmed after the queens have already kind of like gone on. So when we're seeing it for the first time, they're also seeing it for the first time. And so this is their chance to talk about that experience of like, I didn't know how I came across. I didn't know you said that. So it's really their chance to unpack.
And this is why this one is very, very important. The reunion and the finale both take place at the theater at the Ace Hotel in DTLA.
That stands for Downtown Los Angeles for folks who aren't in the know.
Let's talk about RuPaul's outfit. He's sitting down.
RuPaul was in a very conservative black pinstripe suit with a black shirt. He is back to the suit era, which I appreciate. I think that I just get used to him being in a suit or being the beautiful drag queen RuPaul. I didn't really care for the Mr. Rogers cardigan Palm Springs living room.
That's what he said throughout the whole season.
But we've covered that.
I loved it. Now, RuPaul, you know, he's sitting with all these fabulous queens in this beautiful theater.
It's beautiful.
It's a beautiful theater. But the thing that I was hoping is that we would get some answers to some drama that happened this season. So that's what I am really looking forward to in during this reunion. So while we get to that, let's get to these runway looks. These are the last looks.
Last looks before the finale. Yes. There was this one look, Princess Poppy, that we got to talk about. Because I think you have to be a OG Drag Race fan to know this reference. Now, it looked like she's just coming back from the mall. Like she went shopping at Forever 21. But this is actually a callback look to season one. There was a queen. I don't even know if she does drag anymore. I don't think she does. Her name was Rebecca Glasscock. And she was one of the finalists. And she was a realness queen. I mean, this was season one, okay? So it's not the Drag Race it is now, right?
Okay.
People are snatching stuff off of the runways. People are asking designers. I mean, the bar is so high. Rebecca would just come in looking like a real woman a lot of the time. And this was one of her looks during one of the episodes.
For me, because I don't know that history, and that's why I said, let me ask you.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, what is going on? Everybody else has on gowns. Everybody else is like, and then you come in jeans and a yellow top. I mean, is it me? What?
And it's also a nod to like what the show was like in season one. It's like you could never get away with this now.
I mean, even RuPaul's look has elevated a lot.
A lot. I mean, all of them. But this was like a nod to Rebecca Glasscock.
Who was your favorite?
You know, there were some standouts to me. Malaysia Baby Doll Fox.
Yes.
Unbelievable. She had this pink showgirl gown and she had a boa made of like what looked like foxtails, but they were dyed pink. She had a pink marabou around her shoulders and kind of this Tina Louise gown with like a nude decolletage. And she had a pink sculpted wig that was a sculpted hairdo in front, but went up into fox ears.
Oh, yeah. I loved Aura, too, didn't you?
Yeah. I loved Aura's look. Aura Mayari, our Filipino sister from Nashville, Tennessee. She was wearing a beautiful white kind of sculptured look, all white and shoulderless. But it looked like a giant white shirt with cuffs. And she had kind of a platinum blonde wig and a white collar that attached to this kind of like... The hem of the top almost looked like pants. If I can say that, like white jeans or something like that. But it was sculpted really, really beautifully. Mistress Isabel Brooks knocked me out. She's always talking about she's trying to bring back old-fashioned drag. And she did.
She
had a big, like almost like the blue fairy blue from Pinocchio, big gown with this belt in the middle that says MIB, Mistress Isabel Brooks, but she says that, Sasha says the MIB stands for Major Intestinal Blockage.
Who had the bad outfit?
Unless I got the joke, I would have thought it was Poppy, but I got the joke. I thought that Jax kind of disappeared, and I thought that Amethyst kind of disappeared.
I thought Robin Fierce.
You didn't like it? What did you not like? She had like a multicolored wig. It was kind of like a straight wig that was in striped yellow and black.
I thought she could have elevated a little bit
more.
I thought her and Princess Poppy both could have elevated a little more.
Selena S. Titties copied John Leguizamo from Tu Wong Fu at the very, very end where of Tu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar, when Julie Newmar crowns John Leguizamo, he was wearing a version of this dress. And Selena S. Titties did a version as a big girl. And it was beautiful.
Oh, wow. You know what? The best line for me, because they all came in, they all had a line, was Marsha, Marsha, Marsha. She says, if you come for me, I will apologize immediately. I thought that was the best line.
Yeah. Sugar and Spice seem less talkative for this.
Do you think so?
Yeah. I felt like during the show, they were like nonstop chitter chatter.
They'll blame it on the edit, honey.
They seem kind of held back. Is that just me?
Yeah, that was just you. There were a couple of times when Spice was talking and Rue was like, are you speaking English?
But it wasn't like on the show where Jax literally said, for my own sanity, I'm going to put you over here and just like pushed Spice aside to have a conversation that didn't include
her. Oh my
her
goodness.
Voice.
You know what? I just think that this season, the twins just brought that energy. It's that young, you know, energy that was needed. And so it gave you something different, you know.
Right. And I think when people look back on this season, they're going to say that this was a season that it did bring in a whole new generation of queens. Mm-hmm. It was like old school meets new school. Mm-hmm. And what one of them said was, what I learned from the twins was, you could be a drag queen anywhere.
Yeah,
I forgot who said it. It may have been Mistress. If I'm getting that wrong, I apologize. But they kind of all said they felt like, don't play in my gig. Mm-hmm. I take this art form very seriously.
Yeah, it was Mistress. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so don't play around with my livelihood. You know, we've been doing this for a living. And what they said was that they learned from the girls, and it was almost humbling, that you can actually be a drag queen or a performer in any medium. And just because they were in TikTok, it didn't make them any less. And I think that was the perception of both of them coming into this competition. I mean, certainly mine. You know, I own that response. That was my feeling. But after I talked to Sugar, again, face to face, I was like, oh, no, I like her.
Yeah.
she's smart and lovely. Yeah.
I mean, this is the thing. But you also remember what you said. Everybody has seen the episodes up until now. Mm-hmm. So there's a whole different feel that
I said what I said.
And you know what I said? We got to take this break because I'm going to get into this tea when we get right back.
Tea. If on this break you call Trixie Mattel and have a kiki, I'm leaving.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies for a post-lunch pick-me-up. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
And we're back. One more look that I really, really liked. Mm-hmm. I did love Lux Noir London's fuchsia dress. She had a fuchsia mini dress on that was almost kind of 80s in its construction. And she had a black, big black blow. Big black blow.
That's what I had in college.
Big black blow. Here she comes. A big black bow on her hair, sculpted out of black hair. And you
know how much
I love black hair. So
I love it. They all look great, though. In the end, they all were together. It was nice to see them all together. Mm-hmm. And we get into this. They're talking about everyone fighting for being number two. There was this big...
Come on.
Oh my God.
First of all, it's called number two, which to me, all I hear is poo. You know, it's like, you want to be number two.
You know, Mistress was talking. Can I just say?
Okay, say it.
Mistress carried this season as far as when it came to entertainment to me.
Okay, all right.
She gave you real shade when she needed to. Uh-huh. She gave you comedy when she needed to. She gave you the drama. I'm just saying, and the reason why I said that I felt as if Rue kept going to Mistress. Like, she kept going to her.
Yeah, because you're
going to
get the unvarnished truth. Yeah. It's kind of like the thing that made Mistress so entertaining as a performer and as a person is there's no filter.
Definitely.
So there's no filter. And right or wrong, she's going to say what's... It's like Carrie Fisher used to say, my heart's in my mouth, so I can't lie.
I
feel like that's who Mistress is. So mm-hmm. the reason Rue kept on going to... Mistress isn't going to give you a pageant answer, which right. is the politically correct answer, mm-hmm. which is the answer that's going to make everybody like you. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, like, when somebody is going to risk being liked... I was like, I want to talk to that bitch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. like when somebody kind of owns their whole story, and there's very few people I've met that are like that. T.S. Madison's one of those people.
Mm-hmm.
Jackie Beat's one of those people. You're one of those people that I feel like at the end of the day, your opinion about yourself matters the most.
Well, I mean, this is the thing. Mistress was saying that, you know, she was patient zero for drag delusion. And there was this big thing where she says all the girls at some point in the episode were having drag delusion.
We were kind of putting it on Lucy.
We were putting it on Lux at times that people mm-hmm. were just having this delusion of I'm the best, I should win. Yeah. Now, have you ever suffered from delusion when acting or performing?
Okay, here's the thing. We're talking about media and stuff and being famous for the first time. And I remember watching one of the first on-camera television interviews I gave for a media thing when I was doing a Broadway show when I was in my early 20s. And I'm so cringy. I'm so not relaxed. I'm trying so hard to be cute and funny instead of being myself. And that's a very young thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember, like, I watched it years after the fact, and I just wanted to hit myself in the head with a rock. Like, and that was my equivalent of drag delusion, which I was completely cut off from any kind of self-awareness. Do you know what I mean? I was just like, and I guess if anybody could else would watch it now, they wouldn't think it was bad as I thought it was. But
right.
me watching myself at that age, thinking I was cute and not thinking that I was cute, but thinking that I was all that.
Yeah.
There was an element of that that was really
yucky. But that was confidence. I think that's confidence. I think when you're in a competition, it's a little bit. It's a little bit different where you... I always try not to get delusional if I'm in a competition because I don't want to get hurt. But right. you know what? I usually have delusion when I first started doing stand-up. And you know how you have to do 2 or 3 shows a night?
Yes.
And say of the first show, you like kill... Like, you got to stand an ovation.
Oh, yeah.
kind of stuff. And so then when that second show comes, I'm like, oh, I'm about to kill it. And it's like,
oh, no. Yeah, all new audience, all new animal. Oh, I hate that. I hate that. And it's like, I'm telling the same jokes.
Yeah, they're like, because it's a whole different vibe. It's a whole different audience.
Yeah.
These are the things that you learn. So you don't get delusional
really quick.
About it. You don't really get delusional. Now, Sasha was, she was like, y'all fighting for number two, but I was number one in both of the 50-50 in the interview. And it was, I just love Sasha. She just stayed back and let people just talk. And then she'll come in with a kicker and it was like, boom, you know.
Yeah. It's like you're all fighting for number two. Meanwhile, hello, I won both of those things.
Yeah.
So I have nothing to contribute to this conversation. Like it was a conversation ending.
But they were getting on Lucy about being delusional. And I was glad that RuPaul brought up the fact that in the Rusical, Kevin Bacon gave her a shout out. And then they even had a little cameo on this reunion show with Kevin congratulating Lucy and stuff. And I think that's what she kind of needed at that point. Because like I said, everybody's in their feelings right now. You can look at their faces and tell. You can tell Selena was in her feelings. Lucy, you know,
Lucy was really in her feelings. Like my heart went out to Lucy on the show. I mean, seriously, because when you're on a reality program, no matter what you do, you're not in control at the end of the day.
Right.
I mean, they could, you know, I mean, the song is Blame It on the Edit. You're the one who said it, you know. And I believe all of that is true.
Right.
And you also, as the performer who was on that, who gave your likeness to that, who spoke through all those episodes, you don't have any control over what comes out. I was talking to a Kylie Sonique Love, who is a friend of mine, who won All Stars one year. And mm-hmm. she was like, there was all this stuff that I did that never made the show that I felt was important to me. And I said, all right, as somebody who watched it and watched you win, you didn't need that. But to her, she felt like there was a lot of stuff missing.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, you know, also during this time, we had some legendary lip syncs that they brought out. Sasha versus Anitra in the Lollapalooza. Which one was your favorite out of all the lip syncs from this season?
Okay. My favorite this season that I've rewatched the most is Anitra versus Marsha doing Doja Cat Boss Bitch. But the other one that I've watched, that I watch over and over again, that is a close second, is Sasha and Anitra doing I'm in Love with a Monster.
What I liked about that was because it was like, okay, the question was asked of Anitra and Marsha, because that was the one where Marsha got eliminated. Mm-hmm. And this is what I'm talking about. The reason why you have the reunion is to talk about after. So they were wondering, because a lot of people online were saying, oh, it should have been a double save, because both Anitra and Marsha were great. But even Marsha admitted, she said, you know, I'm still green in drag.
That made me like her a lot.
It really, because, you know, that's the growth and understanding. And also, you can come back on All Stars. You know that. But to be able to answer like that and to say, you know, to know that she's not bitter about it, that she has grown, she has a makeup mm-hmm. line, she's doing all kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. It was really, really good. That Jax versus Mistress, that was the one where you had the queens in the back. And I wanted to hear how Mistress really felt, because when Mistress came back, the other queens were like shocked that Mistress won. They thought Jax had won. And so during the reunion, mm-hmm. they were asking, you know, Lucy and Selena both said, Jax still won.
Yeah.
And Mistress was still like, you guys.
Based on results. I went forward. I can't argue with that. Mistress was one of the only people who could just kind of burn down the entire house, which is facts.
Both of y'all are not in the final. Who's in the final? You know. But when they asked Jax about it, she said, mm-hmm. I thought it was balanced. She said, I don't think that I won or that I lost. She said, I think that it was balanced. So, and then Mistress had the classic line, we see who's at the end and who's not. I was like, ooh.
I think that's their way of shutting it down. It's kind of like, you know, when you hear Mistress's story, that she's been on her own. She was a teenager. And when you grow up in an environment, it's almost like you being like a stand-up comic for so long. It's like if you ran away from home and your mm-hmm. entire family was comics mm-hmm. who looked out for you, like that was your drag troupe. Mm-hmm. And those are the people that stuck up for you. You know, mm-hmm. this is a very particular world. And in a drag queen world, which is at night and you're with other queens, you got to be quick and you got to be fast. Mm-hmm. And Mistress always seems to be ready to kind of like shut things down.
Yeah, well, she could have easily just been nice. You know what I mean? It was a nice comeback. Mm-hmm. But it's like in that moment when you have two people saying, well, she still won.
Right.
It's like you got to go.
Well, so what?
Well, you know.
Yeah, but I'm in the top four.
And then that just shuts everybody down. So, you know what I mean? Right. There were also some behind the scenes romance. We had some Scissor Sisters, as they call it. Robin and Amethyst.
I feel like this is a bigger story to the fandom than it is to them. They kind of both seem like we've moved on. This is ancient history, but people want to poke that bear.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But I loved all the queens calling in with the questions of their own. They had several cameos. They had Asia O'Hara asking, who's Sasha's favorite drag queen? And Sasha got to say Monica Monroe, who inspired her career for the past 20 years. Monica Monroe and both Sasha Colby were in this thing called the Miss Continental pageant, which mm-hmm. is, the way it was explained to me by past contestants, is that before RuPaul's Drag Race, Miss Continental was the highest you could go as a drag queen.
Wow.
It was like
that's history.
Like the Oscar for drag queens before the advent of RuPaul's Drag Race. Now Sasha is in now the top of RuPaul's Drag Race and won Miss Continental, so that cements her legendary status. Aquaria asked Irene, because of all the trolling, is any troll a goal?
And you know, she had to be honest. She said, look, I wasn't on the show, so this was all I had. So I had to, you know, stir up some trouble online just to keep some attention. So, you know, that was understandable. I mean, I got that part, you know what I mean? RuPaul asked, how did you guys handle Irene's trolling mistress? She said she was joking. She said she blocked her. I don't think I need to go. I need to go look and see if she blocked
her. I know. And then you, like you said, you know, there was a lot of stuff aimed at mistress. Even Robin Fierce's mother. Why were you coming at my child for her wig? And mistress owned it. She goes, I was in my chaotic era. Now I'm in my angelic era.
I loved it. And she was saying, I was trying to give her help. You know, you could actually see her scalp under the lace front, and you should wear a different color wig cap.
Right.
So she was, you know, I mean, that was just a fact. Like, and, you know, and then she kind of said,
she wasn't,
you know,
the only one she came for. I mean, she came for spice. She said, your wig glue, honey. Your wig's coming off. So...
Aura's mom had a question for Spice. She said, why did you say Aura should have been in the bottom of the snatch game? Oh my God.
And then, okay, see, this is what the younger queens came back with. If somebody claps back with an answer with a lot of humility, there's no fight. What Spice did, she has admitted Aura would have sent her home in the lip sync.
See?
Based on their experiences. And I love that. I love that truth. I love that it made those two girls really turn things around for me in the way that they handle themselves.
You know what? Can I just say the moms were spicy in their questions? Yeah. They was like direct. Like, why'd you come for my baby?
That's my baby. That's my baby. But I also love seeing moms supporting their drag queen kids on television. There's nothing better than that. Listen, we'll get into the unaired reads.
Ooh.
Because there's some good ones right after this.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this.
I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black. Directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R. Under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies for a post-lunch pick-me-up. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
And we're back. See, I knew you'd appreciate this, Lonnie, because the reads, I think, were in the episodes that were only 60 minutes.
Yes.
So we got to see a lot of unseen footage in this episode.
Yes. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Because we would have had to skedaddle through this one if we didn't have this angle, the extra 10 minutes. So they gave a lot of unseen footage.
Yeah. And they also read each other in person, which I thought was hilarious.
Oh, the funniest one for me was difference between a mistress and a brick. A brick gets laid. I was like, oh, my goodness.
Ow.
And then someone said about Spice, they said, Spice. You need some.
Spice, you need some. And then Spice said to Sugar, you and Michelle Visage have a lot in common, living in someone else's shadow.
I was like, ooh.
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 Okay. So what Sugar's read was, it was to Irene Dubois. She said, Irene, Lux coins you as a swamp witch of the season. She's right, because what curse did you pull to be on one episode and get more screen time than Robin?
I was like, what is... We missed all this good stuff?
I know. And Lucy also said about Mistress, the only thing shorter than those heels is your life expectancy. I mean, you have to laugh. You have to laugh.
Poppy said, Aura, all those muscles and only your ass is ripped. She also said, the rumors are true. I gave someone COVID. That's why all season Lucy had no taste. I'm like, oh my.
All those muscles and only your ass is ripped. I mean, okay. I'm done.
It took me a minute. And I was like, oh my God.
Shut it down. Okay, since reading is fundamental, Rue announced, and don't fuck it up, an oral history of RuPaul's Drag Race comes out in June.
Yes.
So for those of you that enjoy books.
It's an actual book, and Mistress was supposed to hold it up. She held it up late, but she held it up. So that was really, really exciting, you know. And then they talked about all the gate controversies, which we've already talked about through our past episodes. But basically, it was all Mistress' fault.
The answer I was going to come up with, I was going to say they mentioned four gates and three out of four of them involved Lux.
But Mistress is always instigating.
Yeah.
She's
a turd stirrer. She always has to stir the turd.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So then we also go into this. I really like this portion of the reunion. It was the unseen looks.
Oh yeah. This is really interesting because what they do with social media now is if you leave the show, you still have all your looks that people haven't seen.
Right. Right.
So I think April Carrion, who was in a season, I forget which season she was in, but each week that they had a thing, she would post on her Instagram what she would have worn in that challenge. And I thought it was absolutely brilliant. So Amethyst showed her Ripper to Shreds look. Remember the Ripper to Shreds challenge? And she did a look that she posted online that she was working in an office. And she was like a girl who worked in her office, and the office look was ripped to shreds.
It was so cute.
Yeah, it was a yellow wig, and then she had all this ripped paper all over it. It was really, really cool.
And then we had Aura Mirari, a Night of a Thousand Beyoncés. But she wasn't pregnant in this one, but Beyoncé was pregnant in this look. But she killed this look.
This is beautiful. If you've seen Beyoncé's Netflix special, Homecoming, at the very, very top of it, Beyoncé's playing like an Egyptian Queen Nefertiti inspired like Egyptian robe that's regal with the headdress. Aura copied it completely.
It was just beautiful. Yeah. Up next, it was a Malaysia baby doll fox.
Everybody and hers was that everybody says glove, and she says she wears her heart in her sleeve. Oh. So what she did, she wore a red sequin gown, hip hugging with gloves and a heart, like a gigantic heart on the red sequin glove as the heart on her sleeve.
And she said this was sort of like a dedication to RuPaul. Mm-hmm. It was a beautiful look. That red with that white platinum wig.
Beautiful.
Ow!
Yeah, RuPaul had a look like this that she wore in one of the very first. There used to be a Glam Cosmetics lipstick called Viva Glam.
Yes.
For those of you who are old enough in the 90s. And part of the proceeds of Viva Glam went to AIDS charities, AIDS organizations to raise money for AIDS awareness and HIV awareness. And Rue had a look very similar to this as the Viva Glam spokesmodel in the 90s. Next up, we had Irene in her Puffa Please. And she did a very kind of 1920s inspired look, kind of like, but she looked like the Eartha Kitt character, Yzma, in The Emperor's New Groove. I don't know if you remember that movie. Eartha Kitt played this character who would go, pull the lever! And she looked just like Irene in this picture.
She looks beautiful. I love this outfit. And Sugar said that she looked forward to Irene's look on social media every week. So that's a way, I mean, that's the thing too. Even if you're eliminated early, you can still show off your looks. And you have a fan base. It's like, so that's the beautiful thing about it. So up next was our Tootin' Boot section.
Tootin' Boot. You know, and this was popularized by Raven and Raja. They have they break down the looks every week of the runway and RuPaul's Drag Race. And if they like something, they give it a toot. If they don't like something, they give it a boot. And also, if they are amazed by something, they give it a shoot.
Okay.
That is like, that's just the most amazing. So the first look, they Bringing up for the tootin' boot looks is Sasha in the Puffa Please. She had on that yellow and black puffer jacket with her hair going out in the spikes, so she looked like a bee or a glamorous insect. Beautiful. They gave it a toot.
Toot toot.
Malaysia's entrance look, which was similar to this reunion look. She was like a fox.
Yes.
Like a orange and white fox. And I love that look. For her entrance look. It was
so
beautiful.
She was definitely a toot.
Yeah.
I wanted to get to the boots.
Yeah. Marsha, beautiful nightmare, where she came out as a dental assistant in pink platform boots. They said that was a boot.
That was a big boot.
Because there wasn't a whole lot to it. It was like a boot. Yeah. Mistress, Night of a Thousand Beyoncés. Remember when she had the Michelle and Kelly heads? And the green dress.
Yeah.
And they said it was a boot. I liked it.
I liked it. And I liked the joke that Spice said. She said, hey, she came out with both of us on her shoulder. So it's like the twins, you know.
Yes.
Another boot was...
the bag ball.
Oh, yeah. The bag ball was a boot.
Lucy
Liduca
came out with kind of like the crumpled up balls on a white skirt. And they went around her shoulder and around her. But it was like a really plain look that looked like it had crumpled up plastic on it. They were like doggy bags, and they gave it a boot. And unfortunately, I kind of agreed.
So Ara, I thought it was interesting that Ara got a toot for her dress, which was the beautiful nightmare dress.
Oh.
But she got a boot for her acting in it. It was like too much.
She came out in this beautiful black glitter gown, hip-hugging, and then when she turned around, her, like, there was, like, a drag spine exposed in the back with all of her guts and everything, like she'd been skinned. So it was very dramatic, but they gave her a boot in acting. And Anitra, everybody was unanimous in a toot for her crystallized look with that crystallized dinosaur spine that went down the middle. Not only was it an incredible dress, but she made it. She made that.
Yeah. Anitra made some beautiful outfits this season. It was beautiful.
So we came to the segment called the Golden Boot Award, which is given away by the previous contestant who won the Golden Boot Award. The Golden Boot Award is for the worst look of the season. Last year, it was Maddie Morphosis for her look with that homemade dress and the blow-up doll. That was just boogerific. And the year before that, it was Lala Ree, who had taped or hot glued shopping bags to her corset.
Yeah, those pink.
That was
like,
awful. So
those gift bags.
So this year, there were three finalists. They were Marsha, the tie-dye look, where it looked like she'd been hit by a football, and she gave herself a bloody nose.
Yeah, and she said she hadn't finished that one. No, that was... Jax had the tie-dye look, too. She was a contestant. Yeah. And she... That was the one. Jax said that she... hadn't finished the look. And that, I mean, do they get like that, Alec, where they can't finish? So they just, whatever they can put on.
I think that the looks evolve once you get there. I mean, it's that thing of like, you show up with all your best drag, and all of a sudden the first runway goes out, and you look at everybody else's stuff, and you're like, oh my God, I have to step this up. I got to add something. I got to take away something. I mean, think about it. I mean, it's like that happened this season where Marsha came out as the beauty contestant who lost and she was crying and they said, this was fine, but Lucy did that before you. So if somebody's already did something and you're bringing something to the runway, you have to like go, oh, how can I make this different than Lucy's?
Definitely. Okay.
You know, how can I make it seem like I'm not repeating a look on the runway? So the final contestant was Selena Estides for the Metallica a look where she came out in kind of like a metal dress that had all the LA street signs.
That was your favorite, wasn't
it? I thought it was clever just because I live in LA. So, Lonnie, who won the Golden Boot Award this year?
Oh, Selena Estides won, and she was happy because she said, I finally won something of RuPaul's Drag Race.
I won worst look of the season.
I love it. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we've got more drama, more unseen footage that we're going to talk about right after this.
Me.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this.
I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
Big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent, only in theaters May 17th.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies for a post-lunch pick-me-up. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
And we're back. On every single reunion show, they always talk about who should go home and why, and we've covered that.
Yeah, we covered that plenty. We also had a cute little segment called Celebrities Are Just Like Us. There was unseen footage, so you guys watch it because we need to really get to what they really talked about that is about making a difference.
Yeah, and general discussion about the drag climate around the country. Now, as a queer person walking through the world, I got triggered in Key West just by seeing a bunch of Trump stuff in a store window. It really kind of violent rhetoric. It, you know, I don't know where our listeners lean politically, but if you like Drag Race and you love trans women and drag queens, chances are you don't like the rhetoric that's happening right now. So this is a really kind of almost dangerous time to be in drag or to be a trans woman because all the conservatives are saying you're basically a child molester. You know, they're accusing performers. They're kind of like, the way I heard it about discussed online is, you are taking away my livelihood. This is how I make a living, you know? And when you start making laws that are banning this type of performance, and also the reasons behind this aren't based on truth.
No.
If you look at statistically, the crimes committed against children, the crimes committed against youth, they're happening in churches. In Tennessee alone, the week that they were proposing and passing this anti-drag bill, there were all these youth pastors that were accused of abusing kids.
Yeah.
And it's misplaced suspicion, it's misplaced fear, and it's all a big diversion to keep you not focused on really keeping children safe by keeping guns out of school.
Definitely.
Because if you're talking about keeping children safe and protecting children and keeping guns out of school isn't the first thing out of your mouth. And you're saying that the most harmful thing, the biggest threat to kids right now is drag queens and trans women and trans people. It's hard for me to listen to that.
It is so hard. And we were having, the reunion had this discussion where they were talking about the different things that the queens are doing in drag. And every time, this is what RuPaul said, he said, every time they bat their false eyelashes, they make a political statement. So Aura performed with Maren Morris at the Love Rising in Nashville. And Aura says it feels unsafe in Nashville. Baby Doll Fox also said that as well. Robin was the first drag queen to speak at Yale Law. She did a drag queen story hour to raise awareness for the proposed bills around the country.
Right. Here's what it does. The way the caste system for society works, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to get in trouble, or
don't
maybe not.
Don't say what you want to say.
Straight white men are at the top, are supposed to be at top of the social order. And what drag does is it turns all of that upside down. RuPaul, who is black, who is queer, and is a black man in drag, is exalted and a celebrity and at the top. And all of these queens who come forward, I'm a man in a dress and I'm celebrated and I'm having a great time and I'm an entertainer and I'm becoming famous, turns all of that social order upside down. So if you're a straight conservative, you're looking at all of that going, wait, that's my spot. That's my privilege in society. I'm supposed to be the most powerful. I'm supposed to be the most celebrated. And when that doesn't happen for them, when they're not at the center of the narrative, they go nuts.
Yeah.
That's
it. I mean, you can see at the CMT Awards, Kelsea Ballerini performed with four of our drag queens. And this is what it's about. Like, this was unheard of at the CMT Awards. And it's up to artists that are true allies to perform and to speak out and make this part of the norm.
Right.
And so this, when we say being a good ally, that's what being a good ally is being able to take your art form and saying, we're going to include everyone. We're going to be inclusive of everyone. We're going to be inclusive of LGBT. We're going to be inclusive of all races, of all nationalities, because this is the way the country is made.
That's the way the country is made. And that's the reality of it. And when you're in a diverse environment, it's harder to be a misogynist.
It's
harder to be a racist. It's harder to be homophobic when all of a sudden there's diversity. Mm-hmm. And it's about treating everybody with respect and looking at everybody as a human being. And these anti-drag bills and the anti-trans, it's the same game book. When I was growing up in the 70s, they didn't want, in Broward County in Florida, Anita Bryant didn't want gay people teaching in schools. Because they're going to corrupt your children. And then when it became gays in the military, they're going to go after you in the shower.
Ugh.
You know, they're going to go after you in the locker room. None of that was happening.
None of it.
Do you know what I mean? And it's the same thing over and over again. You know, marriage equality. You're corrupting marriage. My relationship has nothing to do with you. So it's all this drumming up of fear. And here's what's hopeful to me is that the past is prelude. I feel like the truth will always win out.
Yes.
But there's always going to be racism and prejudice and transphobia until it doesn't work anymore.
Well, like Robin Fierce says, it's important for all of us to speak up. And RuPaul said it best. Nothing is more powerful than a registered vote. Now, because this season had four Connecticut queens, there was a lovely surprise. The state lieutenant governor of Connecticut and the LGBTQ plus caucus had a message for the four queens.
Yeah.
And it was just a wonderful.
It was so beautiful.
This is what we're talking about when we're talking about allies, when we're talking about stand up, when you have people in public office that are willing to stand and say, we stand with you. We're proud of how you are presenting Connecticut. And, you know, and they ended it with love wins.
Yeah.
Lucy became very emotional. And that was a great moment.
It was a great moment. And that made me tear up, you know, because Lucy said, I didn't grow up feeling anybody was sticking up for me. I grew up. And she even talked on the, you know, she's talked about like how in my hometown, I still get harassed. I still feel like, you know, the town weirdo. And she said to hear people in government of my own state stick up for me in this way was very important and very moving. And I love, she got her flowers from Connecticut, Lonnie.
Wow. That's what's really important. Sasha thinks that these bills target people like her. She says she feels nervous traveling. Will someone recognize her in the airport bathroom when they're not a fan? You know, if you are just a normal person, okay, you get it. But when we talk about empathy, you know, people don't go through this because they want to go through these troubles.
Right.
They're trying to be happy and they're trying to live their life.
And they're trying to be their authentic selves. And it's kind of like to reduce somebody's journey of identity with something as big as gender. I'm going to be the gender that I feel that I really am. To reduce you, that journey to your predator in the bathroom is so insulting and so dehumanizing. And I hope and pray that the people of this country are smart enough to see through it. That
but you know what? It's a diversionary tactic. What I'm proud about, Alec, and people like you and I, that this show, and that's why I always back this show, is because this show, as many years as I've been on it, it has always been about progression and always been about having people to understand that people should be able to live their lives. People have to understand there are people's children that are going through loneliness, that are confused. They get a piece of sunshine by watching Drag Race. You know, they get a piece of sunshine by maybe going to a pride event.
Yeah. Yeah.
How mean do you have to be to take that away?
Right. There are kids. They said there's young people out there, teenagers who are going through the same things that these queens went through, feeling like my family doesn't understand me, or I'm bullied at school, or for being this way. I'm bullied because I'm different. I'm bullied because I'm othered. And then you go and watch a television show where all those same people who are just like you who have been bullied, who have been targeted, are being celebrated as entertainers and artists.
And it's an Emmy-winning show. It's an Emmy-winning, critically acclaimed.
I'm getting chills just thinking about it.
And a shout-out to RuPaul and Michelle for their recent nominations for the MTV Movie and TV Awards. Also, the show was nominated and Untucked was nominated. So we're going to switch it up to something lighter.
Switch
we're gonna
gears.
Keep
I had something
going.
To say. I was feeling some kind of way.
That's right. You say
but
it.
But don't you feel like you've been dealing with this your whole life?
But you know what? If it was meant for us to be the fighters in this, we owe it to the next generation. You know, it's funny because a lot of times these Gen Zers, you know, there was something going around about there's a saying that some of them say that, you know, I'm not my ancestors. I'm like, no, you're not. And it's because of your ancestors that you are able to be where you are now. Never forget about the people
who came before you.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're standing on the shoulders of giants. I mean, I'm a kid of the 70s. I was bused. And I remember even as a little kid seeing on the news people protesting busing because they were trying to integrate the school system, right?
There's always a fight. What is it that you're going to fight about?
And I remember as a kid going, they're really foaming at the mouth. They're getting crazy because I'm taking a bus to school. I didn't understand it.
You know,
anyway.
But that's why we keep fighting.
Gears.
And we're
going to
switch gears.
Keep fighting.
And we're going to keep it light. So with that said, we're changing gears. This is the last chance for the queens to get things off of their chest. They say, gather her.
Gather her. I love that expression. Like, gather her. Like pull it together. I love,
mother.
Like, oh, she's a, yeah. Gather
okay,
her.
Okay, so Irene says to Mistress, the first thing that you did after you got off the phone when I got home was tell me that after I left, Lucy made a comment about me. You know, Irene doesn't even look like she's had filler. It looks like her face is sagging. And Lucy said she didn't say it. And Mistress, she don't remember saying it. A mess.
Like,
it's a mess.
And you know, and that's what Mistress said. If you've only been on one episode, I guess you remember that one episode. You remember your own experience.
Now, Mistress said that the white twinks had ganged up on her. White twinks? I never heard of white twinks. What's that?
Twink is like a young gay person in their 20s. Like, it's just like a young gay. And it's
and
usually
white?
Like, you go to the clubs, you got your cocktail and everything, you're a twink. So Mistress was basically saying the white twinks ganged up on her after her and Marsha's Untucked conversation. Because Marsha, out of drag, is kind of the equivalent of a white twink. So
got
I guess
it.
All the white twinks out there felt some kind of way. And went after Mistress on Instagram, and she said that her account was shut down 3 times.
Wow.
And Mistress also said they also came, a lot of racist stuff was aimed at Lux for being who she was. And Rue, you know, in Rue's infinite wisdom says, I've been doing this forever, and you can't let any of that mean anything to you. But again, if you're in the media spotlight for the very first time, and you're experiencing the social media pylon for the first time, it's going to make you feel some kind of way.
Yeah, and Mistress also said that it felt like, well, I guess maybe because it's fat phobia. She got a lot of that this season. The skinny white gays were ganging up on her as a bigger person of color.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And we talk about that on this show. It's like we want to change the culture of the Drag Race fandom. It's like you're entitled to your opinion. Absolutely. If you don't like something, you don't like something. But to kind of actively kind of like take to the internet to say something that you would never say to somebody's face.
Yeah.
My parenting rule to my kid was, if you can't say that to somebody's face in person, don't put it online.
That's
do it
a good
online.
Parenting point, Alec. You're a pretty good parent. You know
oh, well, thank you. He's still alive, so I've done my job.
He's still breathing. I check. I'm like, okay,
I check every
still
day. I hold a mirror up to his mouth, and if it fogs up,
you
mission
know,
accomplished.
We're going to wrap things up and talk about the best moments from the season right after this break.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this.
I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered.
for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies for a post-lunch pick-me-up. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
And we're back. Listen, I'm not going to apologize for getting emotional, but I did get emotional. I got very heated during this podcast because this is like, this is our lives. You know, this isn't some article I'm reading in a paper. It's like, you know, it's lies being told about us. I am not really good with that.
Let me tell you something. As a person who I've dealt with controversies because I've been on television, and it does not feel good when you know that you're not what's being portrayed. And so, you know, it's different, but that's why I can empathize with what's happening with the LGBTQ plus community.
Right.
They're
right.
good people that are just trying to do the best that they can. And I think one of the best moments for me this season was that we were able to bring, it's funny how this was taped a year ago.
Yeah.
And you're seeing policies that are affecting people and they're able to talk about it and educate people. That's called the perfect timing. So that was one of the
perfect
best
timing.
Moment.
Beautiful. So they were talking about the best moments on the show. And at the very, very top of that list was Anitra's performance in the talent show. Walk that fucking duck. RuPaul said, you have kicked the zeitgeist and the pussy. Anitra said it was the very first time she mixed martial arts and voguing. And RuPaul said in the unaired footage, you're going to make $1 million. And I hope your knees are okay because your fans are going to want that until you're old lady.
They're always going to want to see it. You know, Lux House of Visage, that outfit was just... that was one of my favorite moments.
Yeah.
The purple with the zebra.
The purple turban pants. with the zebra pants. Astonishing that, like, again, she made that. She designed it and she made it and she presented it.
Oh, my goodness. That was
unbelievable.
That was a great moment.
Yeah.
Mistress Daytona Wynn's performance. That was hysterical.
Yes. RuPaul basically said she could walk into any sitcom and she'd be the star of it. Asked Mistress, have you ever acted before? And she goes, I act the fool all the time.
I believe it. I definitely believe it, you know.
Yes.
And then the last one of the best moments was Sasha Colby blaming on the edit music video. Basically, she said she had to give props to Monica Monroe for that because, you know, she says, you know, just lock eyes with someone and, you know, and she learned that from Monica Monroe.
Yeah, her ability to lock eyes with the camera and really kind of like you can't look at anybody else or think about anybody else. It kind of reminded me of like when, you know, during the 80s and 90s when those Madonna videos would come out for the very first time. And Madonna was like, there was nobody better at doing videos and making you look at her.
Yes.
You know? She was like,
you remember back then? And we were always so excited.
I know. And you couldn't watch a video on YouTube anytime you wanted. You had
wait
for it to come on MTV. So I remember when Madonna's Express Yourself video came out that was based on the 1920s film Metropolis. It was like anytime it came on, I was like, shut up, everybody shut up. You know, it was like, you know, when we were kids and the Wizard of Oz would come on once a year.
Yeah.
And be like, it's starting, everybody be quiet.
The Ten Commandments come on for 4 hours every Sunday.
Like, once a year. Everybody be quiet. What are you most excited about seeing in the finale?
Like, I just want to see the four queens perform and give it their all.
Okay.
And this has really been a wonderful, wonderful season. Who are you most excited to see?
Spoiler alert, because we're going to talk about this on the next show.
I went to the finale taping.
So you have to tune in.
You have no idea what you're in store for.
You're going to give all the tea.
I'm going to give all the tea. I'm not going to give any weight on this show, but just fasten your seatbelts. You're in for an amazing finale, is you all know, I'm saying.
Ever since we can do the finales like live and not with like car horns and stuff, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. it's just a difference.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, remember when that year that Simone won and it was like it was in a parking lot or a drive-in? It was like she was robbed of that moment. I know. Hooray. It's like, yeah. Or when Jada Essence Hall had to be crowned on Zoom. It was like...
with a face Keeney on.
I know, with face Keeney, with Rue Keeney face. And then, like, I just, you know, and when Jada had that moment during All Stars where she said, because I was crowned on Zoom, I didn't feel like mm-hmm. the rest of you. I mean, mm-hmm. this, that part of it that makes it so moving was all of us coming together and being in that auditorium again. Oh. So having said that, remember from me and Lonnie,
yes,
tip your queen, show them love on socials. So yeah. Show them love on socials, especially now.
Especially now. Don't mm-hmm. forget to tweet or DM us if you have questions or hot takes for the queens at Alec Mappa on Instagram, at Comic Lonnie Love on Instagram, and at Lonnie Love on Twitter.
I'm almost up to 37 followers, Miss 2 million you. Followers, so I am breathing down your neck.
Yes!
I'm closing the gap. It might take a minute. You can listen to Squirrel Friends, the official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast, on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And if you like this episode, make sure to rate and review us 5 stars, please, and tell a friend.
Watch all new episodes of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 15 every Friday on MTV.
We'll be back next time for an all-new episode of Squirrel Friends, the official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast, the finale.
We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Ready? Let's go. Give me a vacation.
Vacation!
Give me a golf course.
70 courses!
Let's get a water sport.
Paddleboarding!
Can I get excursions?
Whale watching!
Time for chill vibes.
Beach yoga!
How about a garden tour?
Balboa Park!
Give me a dolphin. What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.